Welcome to the Crystal of Joint podcast. My name is Maverick, and with me is Goose. Goose, we're almost to Top Gun 2. It's been like an 18-month wait, but yeah, new movie, super hyped. How you doing?
Totally excited for it, and I'm doing well, thank you. Yeah, I can't wait to see it. How's your week been? Actually, how's your 2 weeks been? Because it's been a couple weeks now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's the weeks have been good. Finally got some great weather, but with great weather comes lawn mowing. And I will tell you, C-Note, that everyone in my little neck of the wood, there's not a ton of houses, but there's a handful. Everyone has a fresh mowed lawn, except for my neighbor. So that means in the middle of the pod, he's going to fire up the lawnmower. So I think that half the podcast will probably end up having a lawnmower in it, because that's just how our luck goes, right?
Is this his way of getting back at you for shirtless lawn mowing?
I know, right? Like, well, and then yesterday it was warm enough that you could pop the shirt, so I'm sure that he's mad at me.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you're showing him up, so this is his way of getting back at you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the last time we talked, it was looking a little grim for C2J for a possible demotion in CWL, but we're a bunch of scrappers, C-Note, and somehow we ended up fourth for the week. What did you think of that?
Boy, did we walk that line. And I can't say there was any like heroics that pulled us out. We just kind of maintained. So yeah, that was rough. That was a reality check, because we were walking that line for most of the week, and just the stars aligned and we fell into fourth.
Yeah, and I have to say, like, when you looked back at everything, like not only for our clan, but like everyone in our league, it just felt like the average amount of triples were way down. Do you think that, why do you think that is? Cause I mean, there's been a few things that's happened. I mean, there's been, you know, the last little update was Clan Capital, but there was like some little, you know, meta things in there as well. And, we're seeing a dip in triples. Do you think it's a combination of kind of like the nerf buff thing, or is it base designs, or a combination of all, or what's going on? Why do you think triple rate is down for us filthy casuals?
I think we're seeing like a different breed of bases, because I know I was riding the struggle bus all week looking for a base that fit an attack I was comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And I was struggling to find anything, and actually had to wind up settling a couple times and not really doing that well. Yeah, I think it's just the base designs, the nerfs that they put in place, and then the bases that have come out recently are just, it's really difficult. I mean, how did you do in CWL as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I had less triples than the last few, but I felt like I was like right there. I ended up getting a lot. I think I had either a 90% or a triple on 6 of the 7, and then like a 70%, whatever. I like had like a decent week. It was just a tiny little mistake here or there, and I would have had a handful more, but I only had 2 triples the last CWL, which like I've been averaging a little bit more, because for whatever reason this whole donut hog thing is just like clicking with me. But yeah, it definitely felt like things were a little bit tougher, but for my style of attack, it was about the same. I know that a lot of the guys with the drags were having a little bit, less of a luck, but our boy Max Jax, who's like just has that like devil attack where it's like 6 of everything, he's still getting quite a few triples. So, I mean, drags are still relevant. It's just not maybe quite as much as they were before.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got 2 more triples than I did, so, which is not uncommon, but no, it was tough. It was really tough this go around. Almost felt like we didn't belong in Masters 3, which, you know, the past couple of months it did feel like we belonged there. So we really hit a wall this go around. It might just be circumstantial. It might just be the matchups that we got. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like we said, we were missing Max Jax, which usually he's pretty reliable, you know, anywhere between, you know, 2 and 5 triples. Like, he definitely gets a couple of triples for the week. So, I mean, we didn't have our regular roster. I mean, we did have absent to non-absent paladin who got us like 19 stars or something, so that was super nice. But yeah, I mean, who's to say? It feels like half the time we're, you know, rolling and we're like, oh man, we can do this, we can, you know, compete for the top of the league, and then the other times it's like, man, are we gonna get like demoted and by far get last place?
Yeah, we got kicked in the pants like right from day one. I think it wasn't until like day three or four that we got a win. And so I think we were all like, I don't think we're gonna, I think we all thought we were gonna demote this time around. Like I said, things just happened to fall in place by circumstance and kept us where we are.
Yeah. And I know that our, you know, good friends over at Red Thorn were talking about how they got quite a few more one stars than they're used to. And, you know, maybe I'm reading between the lines too much, C-Note, because, you know, C2J, we have our fair share of one stars. I think that might have to do with, like you're saying, base designs, because there's a lot of, you know, Super Bowlers from across the map. There's a lot of Queen Charges from across the map, and one or two little things go wrong, and you're staring straight in the eye of a one star, you know?
Yeah, and to hear people in Red Thorn getting one stars, you kind of know at that point, like, things are getting tougher, because I've seen a lot of great attackers in and out of that clan. So if they're struggling, then it's across the board. And I don't think this go around, the funny thing was, we were maintaining at least two star. Most people were. I don't recall any or maybe one star seeing that, you know, in the entire week. So we were actually doing better than we usually do, minus, you know, the amount of triples we were getting. But we were maintaining, and we were still getting our asses handed to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. That has been an improvement, where we have cleaned up on those one stars that always seem to, you know, cripple us midweek, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's cost us wars in the past, you know. I know we joke about it, but this go around felt different. Like, it felt like everybody was like, I'm not going to one star no matter what. The problem was, we weren't getting, like you said, the triples that we normally get. So it kind of just put us in the same boat we normally would have been by losing that one star from the triple and gaining it from the one star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Sino, we just mentioned it, our friends over at Red Thorns, but I don't know how much you do a little, I call it clash creeping, where you're kind of checking out your friends, like seeing where they are, how many cups they got, you know, how their clan did in CWL. But I did a little clash creeping on Red Thorns, and I'm not going to say that, you know, it's just sheer coincidence that, you know, within a couple week time that they got demoted, that all of a sudden, you know, the Lexnos showed up in their clan. But, you know, it's kind of, you know, kind of odd timing. So I don't know what's going on over there. I feel like they've gone into extra try hard mode to try to keep up with the Joneses, aka C2J.
Yeah, because they're looking up at us right now, because they're in what is it, champs three? Yeah. Or champs one, excuse me. Yeah. So yeah, they're looking up at us.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Kat, come join us up here. The air is fine. Come join us.
You don't need Lex Nose, Kat, come on now.
Oh my goodness gracious. Yeah, oh well. Yeah, I guess we'll see. I mean, it's just like, as soon as one CWL is over, it almost feels like you're prepping for the next. So here, I'm sure that I'll eat my words and we'll get absolutely dumpstered, and they will get promoted, and they'll be laughing in my face with like 17 DMs. That'll be that.
Well, yeah, hopefully this past CWL isn't a sign of things to come, because yeah, we could be looking up at them next month and trying to get Lexnos into our clan.
Right. Oh man. Well, you know, we literally just came off the heels of Ink's event in the CFF. It was deemed the Royal Rumble based on the old the wrestling things. You know, have you ever watched any of the old Royal Rumbles that this event was based on?
I have. Yeah. As a kid, I remember watching those.
Yeah, it was a fantastic idea. So just to kind of let everyone know what that is, in case you didn't get the cliff notes on it. Basically, it's a winner stays, and so there's a big lineup of contenders And then if you win your match, it's basically an FC tournament. So you post an FC, you have a couple of minutes to scan the base, hit the base, and then your opponent does the same. And whoever has, you know, stars and percentage, that person stays and takes on the next contender. So we had quite the little lineup, quite a few FCs and people that were in on the tournament. And I will tell you, C-Note, that it was actually an amazing... I think it was an amazing event and format because it kept everyone engaged. The action was fast paced. It was great for streaming. In fact, I purposely kept out because a lot of times when I stream and try to do hits, it's kind of a cluster because you're paying attention to stream. You can't plan. You can't do this or that and the other. But this one would have been fantastic for it. And you were in the event. How did it go, C-Note? Who did you have to face off? And what did you think of the whole thing?
I thought it was a lot of fun. And a little backstory. It's kind of like the King of the Hill that we do monthly in our clan for CWL. Ink had mentioned that he was inspired by that, and it's kind of King of the Hill on crack. But it is derived from the Royal Rumble, from the wrestling that you mentioned. But it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And I matched up against Wizard of Woo, no less. It just so happened that he knocked out Ink, who was on a little mini roll there, throwing people out of the ring. And so I went against Wizard of Woo, and I eked one out against him. It came down to percentage because he had a really good attack, and I got really lucky and got a high percentage. So, I moved on and proceeded to get my butt kicked by OU of Redthorn. Or I think he's in Redthorn.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting too because the little mini streak. So I mean, obviously, this format, if you're down the list, you have a higher chance to win because you don't have to like run the gauntlet. Like you don't have to win like 20 in a row to win the whole event. But it was just, I think that it didn't even really matter who won because it was like kind of interesting to see the little storylines develop, the people that hit the little streaks. And it was like a perfect example of like Snoopy right off the bat, like won like, was it like 5 in a row or something? It was like a whole bunch in a row. And so that was like a huge winning streak. And then there was like the back and forth of like dethroning the champ and then coming up. And like you're saying, you had to face Woo. So it was like a little mini inter-clan rivalry at the time. And then it was interesting to see like, oh man, I'm facing a player that's known for Blizzards. So I'm going to try to pick a base that's a little bit more baited for Blizzard. There was like a lot of back and forth, which I thought was amazing. And it was very interesting because there was enough time in between the matches and you can kind of see who you're coming up facing that there was a little bit of trash talk going on too, which was super fun.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And Kat corrected me. OU is a noble hero. So yeah, it was a lot of fun in that sense, you know, like it was playful. Like there were no a-holes in there, like mouthing off or anything like that to one another. It was very respectful. Most people wishing each other good luck, even though you're facing them. Mm-hmm. But on the same token, you know, like you said, kind of playful trash talking, but then again, in the same breath, you're rooting for the next person or the person that's on the streak. Like you said, Snoopy went off in the beginning and it kind of occurred to me like, is this guy going to be stopped? Is he going to run the table? I know people had to be thinking that because he was just one after the other. And then it changes hands and you find yourself like, you know, watching that next person, how far are they going to go? And there was a lot of heavy hitters in this event, a lot of heavy hitters. And I know my reward for winning was not only going against OU, but if I had beaten OU, I would have had to gone against Agent Paladin. So I felt that even though I was in the 11th spot, that if I had won it all, I definitely would have earned it by having to go through those two.
Yeah. And you know, you can't actually plan it this way, but it felt like most matches were decided by like a couple percent. Like, I mean, we were talking about troops fizzling out with like, you know, a 90 something percent 2-star, and it was like anyone's ball game because it was by a razor thin margin. I'd say more times than not. I felt like 75% of the time we're talking about, you know, 5% or less, which was just crazy to think about because it was like one after the other, you know.
Yeah, I think there was only 3 triples the entire event, if I'm not mistaken. I may have that wrong, but I think there was only 3 total. So yeah, almost every attack was coming down to percentage, and there was a lot of like mid to late 80s percentage, a lot of 90s as well. So people are like right there, like they really turned out for the event. So it was nice to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will tell you that a huge percentage of the attacks were Super Bowlers and Hybrid, and a handful of Blizzards, because we had a lot of, you know, with Hero and Agent Paladin and stuff like that, a lot of people that are, you know, very, very good at Blizzards and kind of manipulating the swizzles when they land and whatnot. But I would have to say that the diversity wasn't super huge, but I think that was in part due to just the kind of those strategies being so flexible, and when you only have about 5 minutes to plan, that you kind of need something that you can kind of take a few cues for and then just, you know, hit the attack button.
Yeah, it's kind of like the events that you were putting on, you know, the the tournament style event that we did not too long ago, where, you know, you're on the clock. So I found myself like, oh, you know, once I was told I had 5 minutes, you know, you're scouting, you're seeing what you can do, but you don't have a lot of time. Plus, you have to allot time to fix your army, you know, your friendly army. So I found myself scurrying, and I'm sure a lot of people did. You look at the base for maybe 2 minutes, decide what you're going to do, you know, kind of the meat of your attack, and then you edit your army, and then you're in. And it flowed very well. I can't say enough about the event. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was amazing how it went through. And the event was about three, it was like a little over 3 hours for the whole thing. We had, what we ended up having about, you know, somewhere in like the 15 to 20-ish player range. But it was pretty much one after another. There was like no hiccups at all. It's almost like, you know, Ink has run an event before.
Yeah, it certainly seemed like, and he was right there, like guiding everybody, answering questions. So he left like no margin for error. Like he told people when to post their base, when to hit. He was even giving warnings that, you know, hey, you're up next. So it flowed perfectly.
No, he did an amazing job. And, you know, he even got a couple of wins himself in the event, repping himself in the Royal Rumble.
He did very well. He did, like, but Wu like played the underdog and got him. Like, I think that was the spoiler, the Cinderella story right there. And I was, truth be told, I was nervous to go against Wu at that point because he was hot. You know what I mean? He just mm-hmm. took down the Mighty Ink. So I'm like, what chance in hell do I have against Wu right now? His confidence is going through the roof.
Oh, maybe that was your chance, you know, because you had that underdog role, which you thrive in.
I do. I do thrive in the underdog role. So I think by Wu knocking off Ink, he was like the immediate favorite.
Oh, man. And the fanny pack gang is definitely completely caught on. And he's just, you know, Wu's just running this revolution of bringing fanny packs back like it's, you know, 1988 or something.
Carl, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, but there was one unique attack that no one else but, well, only one person used. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, my God. No, it completely escapes me, Cito. Please tell me what this attack is.
I think somebody used E-Drags.
Oh my goodness.
That was the only person that I know of that, or there was only one person that did it. So
I couldn't even imagine who that would be.
Might have been yours truly, but I'm not going to admit to anything.
I don't even, like, it's like completely full on now. Like there's the exclamation point Carl Command and Red Thorns, which is an E-Drag gif. It's just like you can't. Oh, there it is, right there. Of course, Kat's going to post it in live commentary. I just can't escape it. Those dumb purple lizards.
I had to do it.
Blue lizards.
I knew I had no chance against OU. I've seen him attack before, and he is really, really good. So I had decided to go for the memes, and I really was trying to bait you into reaction on it.
Oh, well, I mean, anytime that someone does it, even when I see it coming, it still gets a good reaction. So there you go.
Oh, for sure. My my appetite was definitely satisfied with your reaction on the stream.
Oh my goodness gracious. Yeah, you have this uncanny ability to surprise me with the E-Drag. This is like two times in a row I was totally not expecting you to pull out the E-Drags, and you did. So, well played, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, well, we decided to do a little, you know, clan tour with our friends over at PNT. And so we've hit a few clans so far, and it's been a lot of fun. The first clan that we went to was actually a fan of the pod, Torps, and we went to his kind of newer clan called Final Gambit, and as with a theme with a lot of these, C-Note, it's like five of us are going. It's like you, me, Peter, Fado, and Kat, but you know, we're definitely up on the top of the map. Like, a few times we were like the top five spots of people's maps, but yeah, Torps was great fun over there. It's a little bit newer clan. He's kind of starting it from the bottom up. What did you think of our first visit over there in Final Gambit?
It was good. I think we were labeled as pros because we were the highest ranking people in there. And, you know, the person who picked that clan probably should have done their homework because it was a level one clan. So we couldn't get, unless, you know, each other was on, we couldn't get max donations, so we kind of had to wait for one another to donate. But good group of people. It looks like he's still sorting things out over there. We were technically only doing the second war in the history of the clan, so, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, cool.
And they wound up winning, so that's even cooler. Yeah, Torps, I got a chance to talk to him via voice chat. He hopped in. Super cool dude. Been playing forever. And it was nice to, he's obviously a podcast fan, so it was nice to get to talk with him and see how he runs things, see how he does things. We actually jumped into his Discord as well. And yeah, I wish him well. It's, you know, it's a struggle getting a good clan together, and he's got some growing pains ahead of him. But he definitely welcomed us with open arms, which is much appreciated, and it was fun.
Yeah, like you're saying, it was fun to talk with him on voice too. And one particular story that he shared, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but we have a lot of classic lines that we have said over, you know, the quite a long time that we've been doing this pod now. And the one that he said to me was, he remembered on that one episode when, I think it was when you were asking about the update, one of the recent ones, and about how we didn't really get any toys for the main base, and you're like asking if I was disappointed or whatever, and I talked about something about, like, you know, all the stupid things I've done in my life, you know, if I spent an extra couple $100 in Clash that went to waste, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. So what he says when he looks at packs sometimes, and he goes back and forth in his head about whether or not he should buy it, apparently I'm the little devil on his shoulder that's like, I've done a lot worse things with a couple bucks, so buy the pack.
Well, you know, truth be told, he's not the only one that has you on his shoulder as the devil, because that influences me as well, so it must be contagious.
Oh, man. And I mean, recently they had that like $1.99 Book of Heroes and something else with it or whatever. I mean, how do you not buy that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, even people that claim to be free to play, like, how do you not buy that? It's $2 and your hero, it saves you a week. Like, the value is like five times over.
I mean, all you have to do is park like 200 feet farther away from the store you're going on to save that gas, and there's your $2, since gas is like $1 million a gallon. All you have to do is walk a little farther, there's your $2.
Or just don't go over your girlfriend's house one night. There you go, save money.
Yeah,
play Clash.
Yeah, trust me, if anything is going to cost you money, it's a girlfriend. That's 100% for sure. So that was super fun. And then the next clan we went to, we're still doing, we had to go bounce back to the main clans just for the weekend for clan capital. Ugh, gross. But if you want us to come over, we're definitely taking more takers. But the second clan we went to was the old staple of Carl. We went to the City of Old Men, the clan you love to troll me about, so you know. So what did you think getting the first-hand experience over there in the old man's clan?
I can see why you waited 18 hours for Supervisor.
Oh, no.
It was pretty quiet, I'm not going to lie. You know, they were very nice, you know, the people that did talk. But yeah, it's pretty quiet. Like they seem very like all about their business. Like they come in, they hit, they leave. And maybe that's the condition that some of this game is like kind of going towards right now, is just, you know, people coming in, doing their war hits, donating if it's there, and they, you know, they go about their day. So they, yeah, it seemed like, I guess it was fitting because it's the city of old men, and what do old men do? They work, you know? So it's probably a working class clan that, you know, they're at work all day. They hop on at night for a little bit and they, you know, they go about their day.
Yeah, and I did notice when I was there for a month during my banishment from Hero Kick of My Ass and King of the Hill that there are a lot of people that come on late. So it was actually nice for us West Coasters because there would be people on a little bit later than normal because, like, in our clan, we have a lot of East Coast and a lot of overseas players. See, so it was nice to have a couple of Mountain Time and Pacific Time because, like, 9, 10 o'clock, I could usually catch somebody on. Which was pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm obviously 3 hours ahead of you, so I didn't get that time lapse experience. But no, I mean, they're, like I said, the people that I got a chance to say hello to, very nice, very accommodating. So, and I believe Becca is the leader over there. She was really cool.
Yeah.
She seems like she's very, like she's got a lot going on because she kind of pops in, says, sorry, guys, I'm a little behind the curve here. What's going on? She gets caught up and then she's gone. So,
yeah, you know, she definitely checks in, but yeah, it's, she's got like, she messaged me and a little behind the curtain. She was like organizing like a town hall meeting, like a real one, like, you know, organizing a city or something like that, like town hall meeting for the city. And I'm like, you're doing like actual adulting. And I'm over here just complaining about, you know, Clash of Clans, like funneling or, you know, sneaky walls or something. You're over there doing real world, make the life, you know, make the world a better place type of stuff.
You had me there for a second. I thought you were going to say it was like a town hall meeting for like co-leaders or something.
Oh, no.
That's where my brain is. I'm totally in the Clash experience.
Yeah, I know, right?
Too. Yeah, I'm totally thinking, what do you mean, like a round table for co-leaders to throw ideas out, or a fishbowl, or what are you talking about?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so she said all that, and I was just like, wow, you go take care of business, because that sounds like, you know, important real life stuff, unlike our little shenanigans where we surprised you with a clan visit, you know?
Right, yeah, thank you for fitting us in with your, you know, organizing of the town hall meeting, which is actually a real thing.
Yeah. And then after that, we went to Dark Contingent, which is funny because Dark Contingent, you know, obviously the Red Thorns peeps, they were friends with them or whatnot. But I actually, way back in the day when under the first podcast C-Note, I actually did, I think it was either an arranged war, because I don't think there was friendly wars at the time. This is like Town Hall 10 was the max. It was like either an arranged war or some kind of event or something like that. I think it was arranged war, but I actually did a war with them with some of the old Dark Contingent folks, and then like actually one of them, Nick or something, I can't remember, I'm gonna screw that up and get a message about it, but anyways, he finally remembered that it was like, oh shit, that's Carl from Valkzar Bay. And I'm like, bruh, of course that's Carl from Valkzar Bay. I'm sure that some VAB members will say, hey, you're not VAB anymore, but anyways, OG VAB, just saying.
No, yeah, they, well, I mean, that's kind of a clan that's near and dear to Kat. You know, she knows a lot of people there, and they seem very nice too. Really cool, allowed us in, you know, we did a war with them. They seem like they are all about the war, like they, you know, getting their hits in and, you know, kind of strategizing. And so it felt like from going one end of the spectrum with Torp's clan, you know, which is a new clan, to going to that clan where they're very organized and they know what they're doing and they know what they're hitting. And, you know, it's just, they're going straight at it. So, yeah, it felt like we came full circle in just that little bit of time.
Yeah. And it felt like, in Dark Contingent that it was like, if Wizard of Woo made a clan of like all of his followers, this was the clan, because they did hybrid like it was going out of style. Every hit was a hybrid. Some interesting ratios of hogs to miners. So, you know, because you know that's a pet peeve of mine, that people bring way too many hogs in their hybrid attack. But yeah, they're all about that hybrid life, and they loved it to death.
Yeah, yeah, and they're very good at it too, from what I saw. I mean, I didn't get a chance to see everybody's attack, but the ones I did, yeah, they were pretty good at it. Like, they've been doing it a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and then the next stop that we got coming up is we're going to go visit our good old buddy Clash Livin in his clan. So he knows that we're coming. I think that at least three of us are going to head over there, and then we'll meet up with the rest of our little entourage later. But yeah, heading over to Clash Livin and see what they got going on over there.
Well, hopefully he lets me in, because I've shaded him out twice now on two different podcasts, so he might see my name and reject me.
Oh, he's like, Sino's just fishing for more shade material. That's what he's going to think.
Well, yeah, I'm always on the lookout, so you never know.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, yeah, we're still taking clans. I mean, there's a few that we have in mind that we want to go visit, but we're doing this whole tour thing. So if you want some shenanigans and you want, like, a handful of Max 14s to head on over, you know, maybe we can help you with some clan XP or something like that. Get some of them war wins. Feel free to hit any of us up, either, you know, Kat, Peter, Fado, myself, or Sino, and we will schedule up for a war. So that'll be super fun if you want us to do one with you.
And Carl offered free e-drag lessons if you didn't go to your clan.
Oh, man. I got a story coming up about planning, actually. This is going to be pretty funny.
Uh-oh.
I got a story about planning. Oh, boy. I will help you plan a Skelly Donut. How about that? If you invite me over to the clan, I'll help you do a donut or a bonut.
I don't think Town Hall 7s can do Skelly Donut.
Oh my goodness. Okay, couple other random thoughts, because we got a lot of I got a lot of shout and shade outs this go around to see, but a couple of random thoughts. That new scenery, very checkerboard-esque. What do you think of the new scenery? Because it's amazing for Skelly Donut and counting tiles, which, you know, I'm about that life.
Yeah, honestly, when I first saw it, I thought it was like a wet dream for you, because I'm like, oh my god, he can count tiles like so easily right now. I don't know. I'm kind of middle of the fence here, because I like the whole like Clash Royale little map on the bottom right, and they're shooting like rockets at one another. That's kind of neat. Mm-hmm. I like the castle walls. You know, surrounding the base. That's kind of what I've always kind of pictured when you think of Clash of Clans. Like, you have the walls, you know, around your base. And so aesthetically, that it kind of just brought that out to me. Like, yeah, you know, that's really how I envisioned it all along. But as a whole, like, they went from a dark base, you know, from the last skin, to this bright base. So it's really, you know, going from one end to the next with, you know, dark to light, as far as like visually. What do you think about it?
Do you think that going from super dark and people complaining about how it actually is harder to attack against, to this kind of light, high contrast for visibility of the tiles and the defense and whatnot, was like an overreaction to all the complaints the last go around?
It could be. I mean, whenever the pros complain about something, then, you know, yeah, they get something in return. So this might have been like the gift to them. Like, hey, you know, we even made it easier for you to count tiles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it's good. Obviously, I bought it because, you know, you and I like buy everything. So
everything.
I think we're both rocking. I'm at least rocking the scenery. I presume you're rocking it at least for a little bit.
Yeah, I'll keep it up till the next one. That's what I usually do.
Yeah. Yeah, so I enjoyed it. And then another raid weekend for Clan Capital. Are you turning the corner on this at all? Have you tried the airship now that we have the airship unlocked? Or are you still just, meh, get in, get a couple of raid medals, get out?
Well, if you mean by turning the corner, I go into the corner store, buy my 40 ounce and go the other way back home. Yes. if you mean that I buy my 40 ounce and go to the corner and drink it. No, I'm definitely not drinking the Kool-Aid on this one. I don't know. I just could care less about it. I only do it to support the clan. Otherwise, yeah, it's really nothing to me. What about you?
Yeah, I enjoy, just knocking out the hits. It's kind of interesting because I'm not spending a lot of time thinking about it. So I think that keeps it a little bit more fresh for me. But I'm mostly surprised about our clan, how many people love it. It feels like, honestly, it feels like you and I are the only two that kind of don't care if it's around. Everyone else loves it. I mean, Hero today brought over like 20 accounts to donate up in C2J to level us up, and everyone is talking mad game on the leaderboard. Like, Wu is always telling people to get good because he's like number one or something like that, and challenging people up. So everyone loves it except for you and I, so maybe we're the problem.
Well, I mean, it's not like we haven't been in these seats before. we're probably the toughest critics about Clash of Clans and updates out there. So I'm steadfast on my opinion. I just don't, especially like, okay, so I'll give you a scenario. This weekend, in C2J, someone couldn't quite finish off a base, so it was like 97%. So I have to waste an attack, or not even just me, whoever has to go in and get the other 3%. And then the attack is done. It's not like they give you a freebie, like, oh, you're over 95%. We won't count this. Just finish off the base. It's you used an attack, and I got what? Maybe 150 nobbies out of that. So, it's not even that. To me, I was just like, well, that sucks, because if I don't finish off this base, I can't go to the clan capital, and attack that until this is, defeated and it unlocks the capital. So, yeah, that's just an instance where it's like, well, this just further supports my dislike of this, this update is that, I had to waste an attack for 3%.
So let me ask you this. If you had to, I know you got a lot of complaints about clan capital, but if I could allow you to change one aspect of it, either A, better rewards, as in the little raid metal shop had cheaper and better things to buy from, or you got more raid metal, so that kind of rewards, or so that's number one. Number two, a better tie-in to the main base. Like, the more that you do in clan capital, the more you can have things be better for you in the main base. Or three, you just want better gameplay. Like, you just don't like the gameplay style in the clan capital. If you could change one of those, like, what would be your biggest complaint?
Well, I think I hear this elsewhere too. I think they should give you more attacks. Like, I think they should keep it going. If you defeat a district or a capital, I think that you should get an extra life, and be able to maybe gain more attacks that way. And that might inspire people to really kind of plan out what they're doing to try and get the capital in one hit rather than just, pressing and praying. It's over in the blink of an eye. Like, they advertise, oh, it's raid weekend, and it should be advertised as, oh, it's raid 15 minutes, because that's really all it is.
Yeah, that's very true.
I mean, what about you? Is there anything that could save this for you or sway your opinion about it?
Yeah, I think part of it is that I just love Town Hall 14 War Attacks right now. Like, to me, I am fully on board with just loving Town Hall 14 until 15 comes out. Like, I don't know. I think it's amazing. I think Town Hall 14 is absolutely perfect for me for, complexity, difficulty, but still being able to triple. Like, I've gone on the record for several months now saying I love it. So I feel like any time it's taking me away from the main village is a problem. So I would want significant, like, if you put in the time in the clan capital, I want significantly better items to pick from. for like rushing up another base. Like I got my little aardvark, my third account, my little aardvark account, which I'm rushing like a mother. I think, I mean, I started this account at the end of March, and I haven't been playing it that much, and I already have a level 40 queen, so I'm definitely trying to strategically rush to the point where I can, you know, swing a big bat, but I'm going to get tripled every time, but, you know, try to punch up the map. So I want something like, make it expensive, like make a Book of Heroes, like an insane amount of raid medals, but like make it so you can get a Book of Heroes, you know?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, that might be something good, you know, in the trader, if they made, I guess, the rewards of the trader or the deals of the trader a little better, then it might incentivize to have, you know, the lower accounts do more or whatever. I will say, okay, and this is probably the only time I will say this, there was one positive, or there is a positive. You're actually able to buy Dark Elixir, which is something that everybody has wanted forever. Mm-hmm. With raid medals, which if you're a max 14 and that's all you have is a max 14, you don't have any other accounts, then you're screwed. But if you're like most of us and have lower accounts, then that could be the difference in upgrading another hero, you know. And in my case, I have several accounts that are right on the edge of upgrading to a different town hall level. It's just, you know, I have a couple of level of heroes to go. So mm-hmm. That, I guess, is a benefit. You know, you're able to buy that 25K Dark Elixir, which comes in handy. But that's really, as of right now, that's really the only perk that I see.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I've been buying the research potions for my new account because I'm like rushing up so quick that the lab is always on catch-up mode, especially for like dark troops and dark spells. So that's what I've been buying on my mini account.
Yeah, I mean, there, and I said this in the beginning, like this really benefits the lower accounts, and that's fine, but my gripe is you have Supercell has done so much for lower accounts, making it so easy to upgrade that this should not have catered to lower accounts. It should not have catered to newer players. It should have catered to the faithful players that have been playing for years and years that want new content. That now this, if you told me, and it probably is in the grand scheme of things, just a you know, sidestep to something bigger in the main base, then okay, maybe I can wait a little longer, you know. But you know, there's they look at this. You know, did you see the news feed that came out from quote unquote Stewart?
Oh yeah, a little bit. I caught a little bit. I didn't look too far into it.
Did it feel like they threw a scapegoat, you know, mm-hmm. in front of like the firing squad and said, "Oh, this guy will tell you everything." And all he did was really placate to, yeah. you know, to try and say, I mean, he was very politically correct. It actually, you know, satisfied some of the older players, not mm-hmm. myself, because I saw right through it as far as like, yeah, you're just telling us, you know, you're baiting us into staying into the game and saying, yeah. you know, there's more things to come and we want everybody to enjoy their experience. But mm-hmm. honestly, I've been playing this a long time, as you have, and it really seems like they're still catering to the lower accounts, to the newer players.
Yeah, and I think that they just totally screw themselves because they have this way of doing business where they're only going to put out so much content. Everyone spends money, rushes, gets everything done, and they do these little teases about new stuff just to try to keep people interested, and they overhype it, and then they have to go backpedal. It's like, just say what your algorithm is. You get a town hall every 18 months. You're going to sit at a max level because you're trying to have everyone catch up with you for either making a new account or a new player. Just like, don't pretend like there's something in between. Like, I feel like they keep on making these empty promises that doesn't meet their game development kind of like algorithm, the way that they do it. So just like quit pretending like you're going to be different. Like, we already know how the drill works. Just say that.
Right. Right. And Stuart kind of touched on that. And actually did mention, you know, the 18-month period. And you know, said that there's more to the main base to come, and, you know, yada yada yada, trying to make gameplay fair for everybody and not discourage the you know, the lower players, you know, when you just keep moving up in town halls. And it's like, okay, well, I know that the newer players and the lower players don't know this, but it was very hard to upgrade when you were just starting this game back in the day. And now it is, you can get a town hall 1 to a town hall 7 in a week. Mm-hmm. And that's not even buying any packs. That's just, yeah, you know, going at it. And I mean, well, here, perfect example, Aardvark. You know, you're already at town hall 10. He's barely what, a month old, if that.
He's closing in on 2 months. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Even still, like back in the day, years ago, that was unheard of. Mm-hmm. It would take you like 2 years to get a town hall 10.
Yeah, I almost have max walls. Surprisingly enough, I have a 40 queen, a 20 king, and almost max walls already as a TH10. I have like tons of like level 1 defenses just because there's just too much time to upgrade everything.
Well, I guess we know which hero you favor.
I know. Oh, and you know what the funny thing is, C-Note? We've talked about this several times about what heroes would you prioritize upgrading. I mean, we've always said the queen is by far the most important, always will be. And then there's been some debate about the priorities of 2, 3, and 4. I think the king... I mean, the Warden is tough because the Warden is a different resource, so you can do the Warden and a different Dark Hero, but I am 100% that the King is more important than the Champ. Just like what you ask for on the King these days, like, I love my King almost as much as my Queen, and that's saying something, so you know.
Well, your Aardvark account says different, but okay. Oh, but I agree with you. Yeah, like, the King is really like a tank troop now, and... The RC is more like a cleanup troop, honestly. Yeah. You don't really throw her out there until about, what, a minute and a half into the attack? So, and she doesn't last long when she does go. So
the RC is just another hog rider in my pack of, like, 35 hogs roaming the base.
Right. Yeah, honestly, yeah. Or it's another bat in a pack of bats, you know, hitting defenses. It's just, you know, it's... I like the RC, I do, but... I don't see anybody that relies on it. There's no attack, you know, kind of focused around the RC. Like there is, like you have the Warden walk, you have the Queen walk. Mm-hmm. The King is always the tank in any of that scenario. And then you have the RC, which is kind of out on her own island.
Yeah. Yeah. A little sidetrack note. Like, all right, real quick before we hit a little shout and shade and after dark, we got to talk about the King of the Hill, C-Note, because I'm calling shenanigans. I think Fury... through the competition just to try to pump up Nob's ego, because Nob has been down because I don't think he's tripled in about 17 weeks. So I feel like he threw the competition. I'm calling shenanigans. And let me tell you, I don't know who stepped up to the plate next. It's like a free win in King of the Hill going against Nob next CWL.
I think it's Salty McBeef, isn't it?
It's going against Salty McBeef. It's the rematch from the first King of the Hill. Wasn't that the first King of the Hill?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, we're all the way back to where we began. and if Fury did do something like that to beef Nob's confidence, it is definitely working, because Nob did not hesitate to change his name to King of the Hill in Discord.
It took about 7 seconds after the last war in CWL that went over where he changed his name, the King of the Hill.
Goodness. No sooner did I see him write something to the effect like, oh no, Fury can win it today, all of a sudden his name is King of the Hill, and I'm like, well, I guess Fury didn't win it.
Oh man, love you, Nob.
You know what, truth be told to our listeners, Nob is a very strategic attacker, and he's like, there may be some truth to what Carl is saying that he hasn't tripled in a while, but he is right there, like high 90s. His name was like Time Fail God for a while because he kept time failing. So he's right there and figuring it out.
Yeah. I mean, I give Nob shit, but I talk to Nob all the time. We talk on voice. We plan attacks together. I love him to death, but I mean, obviously I'm going to tease him a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man. Yep. Okay. Let's do shout outs first. What do you got for shout outs? See.
Okay, so I shouted out Ink, Magic Ink, for not only coming up with the idea, but having the event of the Royal Rumble. Ton of fun. And if he ever does it again, I highly recommend everybody jump in, because it is, well, if you've got about 3-4 hours in your day, it's definitely worth it. It's a lot of fun. I'm going to shout out your friend and mine, Darth Yoda, for winning the event. And he had to best Bassenbaker, I believe it was, mm-hmm. The best 2 out of 3 at the end. And mm-hmm. He was actually one of the 3 people that had a triple in the event. So he did very well. Mm-hmm. And then I will shout out Torps, Becca, and if I pronounce this wrong, I apologize, Nico, for allowing us to war with them in the clans that we got to visit. A big thank you to them. They were all very welcoming and kind of let us in last minute. You know, we kind of just threw all the info at them and said, you know, well, we were going to talk about it on the podcast. We're doing a tour. And they were very welcoming, all of them. And so my hat is off to all 3 of them.
Great. Yeah, I mean, obviously, echo everything you say there. See, a little slight twist on a few of them. You know, Ink asked me to stream early on, so thank you so much for thinking of me to stream your event, and I hope I did you proud. Torps, not only did he let us war with them and reach out to us and whatnot, but it was kind of fun. He was looking for help on an taxi note, and so you know, people were like, oh yeah, we like to plan, we like to help people, and we'll, you know, draw stuff and, you know, get on voice with you or whatever. So we hopped on voice with them, and he posted a base because he was going for he was doing a reach attack and going for a 2-star. And so I was like, oh yeah, we will try some. It's like, hey, can you queen charge? He's like, yeah. It's like, okay, let's try some hybrid. So I go into Carl mode, right? Like, I'm like, okay, you're gonna need 3 sneaky goblins, 2 archers, start the raid, you put them here for this like very strategic technical funnel, you know, start the queen exactly at this building so she'll walk in. And he like just, you know, pauses and he's like, bruh, too much, too much. So we ended up planning a drag attack. I got a little carried away, so, you know, as I typically do.
And he is an e-drag attacker. By heart, so I don't know if you know that or knew that, because I also tried to give him an attack that has been very successful for me at Town Hall 11, mm-hmm. and he said, no, I'm really kind of an e-drag guy, and I'm like, oh boy, don't let Carl know.
Oh man. And then my last shout out is for Clash Livin. He actually checked up on me on Discord the other day, which was like really nice of him, so, you know, obviously super thanks for thinking of me. And then He streamed last night, Saturday night. He usually does a little mini stream, so I popped on and hung out with him a little bit as he did some attacks. So that was like super fun, and he was like talking to me back and forth in the chat. So that's always really great to, you know, chit chat for a while. So yeah, shout out to Clash Livin. What do you got for that shade? See,
wow, Clash Livin went from shade to shout. Look at that, he's moving up in the world.
Exactly.
So my shade out is to Peter. Now, Peter had one job in the Royal Rumble, and that is to beat Wizard of Woo. And he could... No, wait a minute. Who did he face? He faced Ink, right? Ugh, my memory is crap. But all he had to do is win, and then it would have been a Peter C-Note rivalry, right. And he couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. So shout out to you, Peter, for not continuing the rivalry, for sidestepping the rivalry once again. Mm-hmm. And then my second shade out is to Hero, who I probably shouldn't be shading out because he had a rough day. But in the Royal Rumble, he tried to Blizzard and he only got 1-star. And while I felt bad for him, I'm like, come on, dude. Like, I looked at Hero and I'm like, man, like if his Blizzard is on, he could run the table on this mm-hmm. event. You know, yeah, and so sure. I was kind of expecting big things from him.
Yeah.
And it just fizzled out as fast as I had that thought. And I'm like, oh, Hero. Like, I also wanted to kind of secretly see a Hero versus C-Note, you know, like teacher versus student mm-hmm. matchup, but mm-hmm. obviously I didn't get that.
I mean, yeah, in all fairness, I mean, Peter had like a tree fall on his house or something like that, so...
That's no excuse.
Hero got called in the last second to work overtime on the weekend or something like that, so yeah, like you're saying, they had a rough go, but that doesn't prevent you from the shade, see, we all know that.
No, yeah, there's no protection. You don't get an umbrella.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, shade outs for me. I got a couple here. First one, Agent 52. So Agent 52 was on the pod. He shaded me out for some selective editing. But you know what the funny thing is, C-Note, is when he was getting into his spicy bits on the pod, he threw the white flag and said too spicy for him. So it's shoe was on the other foot, Agent 52. It got a little too hot to handle for you too. So you shaded me out, I shaded you out.
AKA Spicy McBeef.
Spicy McBeef. and going along with shading Hero out, I made like on one of the pods, like my pet peeves is like headhunters. So one of the attacks, he brought three headhunters so he could grab an outside king and protect his RC. And it didn't work to his liking. So he shaded me out for using headhunters. By the way, headhunters is still the right call to make. Hero, so he shaded me out. I'm shading him out on the headhunters. And then I shouted out Clash Living, but I'm giving him some shade too, because on stream he made a specific point to cook an E-Drag army for a raid, and he's like, hey Carl, I'm making an E-Drag army for you. And I was throwing him some trash talk about like, how dare you, sir, back at him. So he did a stream E-Drag raid in honor of me. So that's some shade to Clash Living on that one.
Wow, he makes both lists.
He's just all over the place. and then, we shouted out Torps. A little shade out the Torps, because that the planning that we did, he ended up not even hitting that base. So some shade to you, my friend. But it was still fun to talk to you and plan. But some shade for not using that attack. and then you mentioned it, C-Note. Shade to you for using E-Drags in the event, with Ing in the Royal Rumble. Obviously, some shade to you for your E-Drags.
Well, you know what? I'm going to see your shade and raise you some shade to you, sir, for yelling at me for not using a super wall breaker let everybody in on our DMs. Like, I believe there was some swear words thrown around. Mom and Dad were fighting for a second.
Oh my goodness!
But Carl was right. Like, I neglected to bring a super wall breaker in my attack. Did not go as planned because of that. So ever since then, Carl is now renting space in my head. Every time I create an army, I always make sure to have my super wall breaker.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that's funny. Well, I mean, I think we've ruffled some feathers this shade out. So I think we should move to After Dark. What do you think?
Yeah, it's probably safer over there. Let's go.
Welcome back to Clash After Dark, and in honor of the new Top Gun movie coming out, we got a couple of our top favorite like songs, karaoke singing in movie from all the great singing in Top Gun. You know, Great Balls of Fire, the bar scene, just a lot of classic moments. You know, so we kind of wanted to, that kind of inspired us to make our list. And you know, I'm a little bit hyped. I think I'll kick us off and I'll let you go after that and bring us home at the end. But my number five is kind of a weird one when I really thought about it, because we recently did some What Would Carl Do and some other kind of scary things, and we kind of talked about, you know, bad scary movies over the year or so. And I Still Know What You Did Last Summer had kind of a weird karaoke scene where Jennifer Love was singing a little karaoke. And at the end, the prompter changed from the song to I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, which is kind of an interesting twist on a movie karaoke scene. And so that's why it made my top five. It cracked in at five for me as kind of a memorable movie karaoke scene. See, what you got for five?
And I'm not afraid to say I had a huge crush on Jennifer Love Hewitt when I was younger.
I don't think you're the only one.
No, I'm sure I'm one out of a lot. My number five is from the movie Armageddon. It's when Ben Affleck, a.k.a. AJ, sings to Liv Tyler just before they get on the space shuttle. He sings Leaving on a Jet Plane, and all the other guys kind of chime in or whatever. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, that is an amazing one. That is a perfect, that it definitely exemplifies what we're looking for on the list. That's a perfect one. I didn't even think of that one, and I should have.
I think it's because it's been on syndication so much lately. It just was fresh in my head.
Oh, man. Okay, my number four is from P.S. I Love You, and I didn't remember what the movie was called, and I kind of remembered the scene, but Jared Butler was singing Mustang Sally, the Ride Sally Ride, up on stage, and then Hilary Swank's character came on afterwards. Like, so he's like, Butler's character is trying to like show up Swank's character. Swank goes up there, has her shirt kind of like pulled up, so you see her ribs. She's definitely got, you know, that actress fit model abs. It's, and you tell you what, that ain't no moose hips don't lie. That's some Hilary Swank hips don't lie. And so she's like flashing the abs on stage, and then she like eats shit off of it and like breaks her nose, and there's like a scene where she's like with a broken nose in like the hospital, whatever. So that was just kind of a, you know, a pretty cool little scene, you know, along with like the character development and the flow of the movie, and definitely memorable. So that's why it's my four.
Okay, all right. Yeah, if you want to see her really get the shit kicked out of her, look at the movie Million Dollar Baby.
Oh my. Yeah,
ooh, yeah, that was rough. So my number four is a playful little character called Marla Hooch, who you may know from the movie A League of Their Own. She was actually the girls kind of stole away and made it to a bar, and she had never drank before, and they found her on stage singing to a guy the song It Had to Be You, and it was not a good rendition, but funny nonetheless.
No, that's a great one. I didn't even think of that one either. My number three is from Rush Hour 2. So I am a monster Chris Tucker fan. So, you know, love him to death. I've probably watched all the Rush Hour movies, each one of them, no less than 20 times. Like, I love those movies so much. And in the second one, when Chris Tucker is, like, overseas visiting Jackie Chan, they're at this, like, karaoke bar, and it's like some bad karaoke, and he has like, Chris Tucker has this line that's something like, what's going on up in here? And then and then goes and sings a Michael Jackson song, and that scene was just, it was just fabulous. And I love Chris Tucker. I thought his singing was great. I just love the character that he plays. It was just overall amazing for me. So yeah, had to get him on my list. So that's why it's three for me.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Did you like him in the movie The Fifth Element? He played the DJ, yeah, or whatever he was. God, that was so funny.
Yeah, I loved everything about The Fifth Element when I watched it when I was younger, and then I watch it now and I turn it off because I don't want to, like, it doesn't hold up well for me, and I want to remember it fondly, and so I turn it off pretty quick.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah, no. It's not, it hasn't aged well, but I still think Chris Tucker was like hilarious in his character on that movie.
No, love him.
All right, moving on. Speaking of hilarious, the classic movie Dumb and Dumber, when they're in the van and they pick up the hitchhiker, and they start singing the song Mockingbird. Oh God, is that funny. And whether they meant to or not, they were like annoying the hell out of the guy that was actually attempting to kill them, which they were oblivious to.
Oh yeah, you're coming up with all these amazing ones. I didn't even cross my mind. That's a fabulous one. I love that one.
Oh yeah, easily one of my favorite favorite scenes.
I apparently going back to the Comedy Well again, because for my two, I got Jim Carrey in The Cable Guy, which, by the way, one of the oddest movies ever. I think it's still kind of a cult classic, so, you know, but my God, that's a strange movie. And like, I mean, there's like a lot of weird Jim Carrey stuff from back in the day, but when he sang that Jefferson Airplane song, it was just, I don't know if it was good, funny, or strange, or like twisted. Like, I can't put my finger on it, but it's definitely memorable, and that's why I remembered it, and that's why it's on my list. But yeah, it is a weird one.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Like, I didn't think it was funny, but you're right. It was very weird because of the camera angles and I think they were going for the first person drunk POV or whatever it is. Because the camera was all over the place, the music and the lights and everything. It was really weird.
I think that just how they shot film and movies for a lot of the stuff in the 90s and 2000s is actually super horrible. Like just the way that they got almost too zoomed in and kind of weird cartoony for a lot of those things, I think is just horrible way to shoot a movie. And thank God we don't do that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, but not to say that I'm a huge Jim Carrey fan, so I still enjoyed the movie. There was a lot of funny one-liners and really historic scenes to come out of that movie. But yeah, as a whole, it was kind of just Jim Carrey was on a roll at that time and that movie came out and it was just kind of that's not as funny as your other stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. So moving on and keeping with the comedy theme, I went with, a classic movie that I think we've talked about before and God only knows how many top five lists, 10 lists we've done. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. The shower scene where he's singing Donkey Shane into the shower head, into the removable shower head. That actually had me singing in the shower that same song when I was younger.
That's a classic that's going to hold up over time. Like just that movie and all the references to it. And just, I think that's a forever movie, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like even kids today know the references to that movie.
Yeah, no, great. And then obviously all those actors getting those royalties for five ever is going to be nice for them.
Right.
Number one, and I was trying to think what would really make a number one for me. So, when I was kind of thinking about what criteria that I would put to make it, one of the top karaoke scenes that I can think of. And when you think of karaoke, it is synonymous with Liquid Courage. I don't think I'm the only one that thinks that, because a lot of people will only do it if they've been drinking a little bit. And there's been a lot of times that if you're like, oh, I'll probably do one, after a couple drinks, you just think that you're going to knock it out of the park. So I feel like karaoke and Liquid Courage go hand in hand. And I thought a great scene for that was in the 500 Days of Summer, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character sings the Here Comes Your Man from the Pixies, and he does a great job both at it was a pretty good rendition that he sang, but he did such a great job of playing that perfect sweet spot of drunk but still sober enough to do it, and there's the whole all these movies have the guy and the girl will they won't they flirting, trying to impress one another thing going on. So it just, to me, that scene just screams what karaoke is for a lot of people in real life. And I thought he did an amazing job in it. So that's why it was my number one.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good choice. I like that. Well, my number one is kind of the obvious, because you teased it as to why we did this list to begin with. And I went with the bar scene in Top Gun itself, the original Top Gun, the song Loving Feeling, where he, kind of woos Kelly McGinnis. And then what made that great is at the end, and I don't think I'm spoiling anything at this point because the movie is 30 something years old.
Yeah.
At the end, they play it again, when he's back in town and, kind of just sitting in a bar and she comes in. So I thought that was perfect. And plus, I'm a huge Righteous Brothers fan, so I love that song to begin with. So, I thought it was perfect. And keeping with your theme of Liquid Courage, I could see somebody actually doing that, in a bar after some Liquid Courage.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, we're both super hyped for this movie. They've, bumped it back a million times. All the trailers have all the classic things. I mean, there's going to be you know, Jets. There's going to be shirtless volleyball on the beach. There's going to be singing. There's going to be all the staples from the first movie. Is there anything coming to watch? I'm presuming that you're going to try to watch this pretty soon after the movie comes out. Am I correct?
Yes. Yep.
Is there something that you really want to take away? Like, what's the one thing that's really going to take the cake for you when we go see Top Gun?
I kind of want, and I've seen in the teasers that this kind of comes to fruition, but I kind of want to see a recap in some way, shape, or form of how the old characters wound up. You know, like I know in the preview, it mentions, I think it was either Commander Ice or, you know, Val Kilmer. They kind of mention his like character. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, not only where Tom Cruise is like in today's, you know, the theme is he's teaching Top Gun. But I'd like to know where the others wound up, you know, and hopefully they either reference or bring them, make them a part of it or something like that. Cause I guess I'm just kind of nostalgic in that sense.
Yeah.
Is there something that you're specifically looking for, in this next one?
So this is probably going to go against pretty much everything that I've said for people knowing us talking about the pod for like 2 years or whatever, how long we've been doing this thing. But, like, I'm always complaining about how nobody has, like, a fresh new idea, and they'll just, like, repeat the same slop, and it's just, like, real meh. But for whatever reason, I just want to get that same Top Gun vibe the second time around. I want, you know, I want all the weird... So some people hate Tom Cruise. I get it. I absolutely love him. I die for his smile. I love his little quirky... personality, the little cocky, you know, jet fighter pilot guy. I love all that. I want to see all that again. I want, like, just throwbacks to the old stuff. I almost want them. This is like the one movie I want them to just repeat the old one. Almost. I mean, obviously it's going to be a different plot line because there's probably different bad guys, yada yada, this whole thing. But I want all the same thing. I want the crazy bar scene, karaoke. I want some piano bar type of stuff. I want some throwbacks to Goose. I want the shirtless, the over-the-top shirtless beach volleyball scene. I want to see Tom Cruise flying like the last F-14 that's still functional in the United States. I want all that all over again. And I don't care if it feels like the old one. I just want another round of Top Gear. Top Gun. I actually want Top Gear too, but RIP that, but the old feel of Top Gear. But yeah, I just want all that. And the other thing I was talking to someone about this again today, this whole Maverick versus Goose thing, everyone talks about Goose like that, like that's an insult, like, oh, you're like a goose. Let me tell you, is that even an insult? First of all, he's a gorgeous looking man. He looks great without a shirt. He can sing like a freaking, you know, god. And you're like married to this like super hottie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, is Goose's life so bad? I think Goose's life is amazing, other than he just dies in the movie, right?
Yeah, I mean, ignore that part and you're right. Like,
Goose is amazing.
Gravy.
Oh, man.
No, I agree. I do like the fact that, you know, Tom Cruise or Maverick's signature move, you know, in the movie Top Gun was, I'll just hit the brakes, they'll fly right by. You know, we saw that in, like, mm-hmm. two different instances. And from the teasers, it looks like he takes that move and he, like, kind of builds upon it. Because mm-hmm. there's a couple of scenes where, like, he hits the brakes and, like, does this, like, you know, inverted, you know, like stand up with the plane, and mm-hmm. it looks super cool. So I'm incredibly anxious to see that part as well. It's kind of like his trademark, his Top Gun trademark.
And then, why do you think he's flying that like crazy, like space plane looking thing? That's the only thing that kind of confuses me. Like, other than the trailer is amazing. And I'm just a big fan of trailers. I love trailers. I like getting hyped up for things. that's the one thing that's a little bit out of place for me is him in that little, like, whatever, like, low orbit plane where he's in, like, this weird spacesuit looking thing. What do you think that's all about?
I don't know, but I mean, it's not uncommon. Like, so in the movie Top Gun, you had, who was it? Tom Skerritt and Michael Ironside were the instructors, and they were flying different planes, you know, in the simulations or whatever the training, than, you know, the actual students. So I just kind of took that as like, now he's the instructor, he's driving the different plane or flying the different plane, you know, and the students have their jets, and he's kind of like, from the scenes that I've seen, it seems like he's the same old Maverick where he's, you know, hair on fire, top of the world, you know, but now he's in like a leadership role. So he's really kind of gearing these guys up, showing them what he can do, kind of earning their respect, so to speak. So yeah, it looks like a ton of fun. Why they put him in that, I don't know. I did watch some behind the scenes looks or whatever, and they explained like all the camera angles and everything that they've been able to do with this, which, to your point, you know, on the trailers, looks super, super cool.
Yeah. The facing from the front of the plane back at him launching off the carrier, and just the little, the little, you know, like hiccup that it has, like when it just like kind of, he like hunkers down to like when it launches off the carrier, is just like, that's just amazing. Like all that stuff looks so badass.
There's a greater than 1% chance I might get airsick watching this
movie. How does your fear of flying, because,
you know, I've seen the I've seen the trailer, and it's like you're right there with him, and he's doing these, you know, just all kinds of crazy, you know, 360s and whatnot, and you're like, oh no.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, mad hype. We're going to see it. We'll probably have to be talking about it on the pod. We'll make sure to, you know, tell you for spoilers and whatnot. But obviously, we've been talking about Top Gun off and on for, it feels like, a year now. So, you know, so it's time for them to pay up and give us the movie we hoped for.
Yeah, hopefully it lives up to the hype, because I know we've talked about movies and we've been anxious about movies coming out in the past, and they've kind of underwhelmed us. So, maybe we're the modern day Siskel and Ebert, you know, I don't know, but, you know, I'm hoping this movie, you know, keeps its promise and lives up to the hype.
or at least I have, so, you know, I think you kind of, followed along with me, but I've teased us quitting doing a Clash of Clans podcast for either, yeah, like a pop culture movie one. And the common response we get is, don't quit your day job. They're not wrong.
Fans can be cruel.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we do take a lot of criticism for our choices in our top whatever lists. That's for sure. Especially, I think Magic Knob is our biggest critic. When it comes to these, because we always miss something in his eyes.
Yeah, he's like, I'm never gonna talk to you again unless you would have picked this one thing, and that was the thing that we both missed.
Of course. Right. Yeah, luckily he always forgives us in the end, but he's definitely all over. He's all over us again today, because we missed Wayne's World, which had a lot of singing in it.
That's true. We did miss that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but with these lists, I mean, there's so many you can choose from, especially we get into some really broad topics. So odds are we're going to miss, you know, some really good ones.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Anything more before we kick out of here?
Nope. That's all I got for today.
Okay, say bye to the peeps.
Later, folks.